ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेवि मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वावनसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदः यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः वेरन्दी टेन्थ चैप्टर भगवद्गीता जिसका द विभूति योग है वेर लॉर्ड कृष्णा डिस्क्राइब्स हिज ओन ग्लोरीज In response to Arjuna's question, Katham Vidyam Ham Yogin, Arjuna's request actually, Katham Vidyam Ham Yogin, Tvam Sada Parichintayan. O Lord, all the time contemplating upon you, meditating upon you, how can I know you? So I want to know you, and for that purpose, I want to constantly think of you, meditate upon you. How do I do that? Keshu keshu bhaveshu chintyosi bhagavanmaya. Hey Bhagavan, O Lord, in what your specific expressions should I think of you, meditate upon you? So Arjuna asked for a description of the vibhutis, the glories of the Lord. The glories being the distinct, being the manifestations of the nature or the creation, which possess some distinction. Some glory, something special, which is the special or glorious manifestation of Ishvara in that particular object or thing. In fact, the whole universe is Ishvara. The whole universe is a glory of Ishvara, manifestation of Ishvara. So it is not that we have to think of only particular kind of an object to think of Ishvara. Ideally or theoretically, you can invoke Ishvara in any name and form. But mostly we are not prepared for that. Meaning that just any name and form does not invoke the idea of Ishvara in us. Does not inspire us. We do require something which is inspiring. It is to begin with. A day will come when we can see Ishvara's presence in anything. Including even, not only in a friend, but also in an enemy, that day will come when we can be completely indifferent to the names and forms, and we can be sensitive to, or tuned up to, the Satchidananda or the Ishvara that is manifest in every name and form. that requires a mind which is pure, free from all likes and dislikes. So that mind has the objectivity to appreciate Ishvara's manifestation. But as long as we don't possess that mind, as long as there are likes and dislikes, so long there are many preferences. Certain kind of things I like, certain kind of things I do not like. And therefore, the kind of mind which is required, which will set aside these likes and dislikes and appreciate what is universal. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini sunichayivashvapakesha panditaha samadarshinah. Panditaha, the wise people are samadarshinah. They see the sameness which exists, whether it's a very pious person who is a sattvic person, or a cow, or an elephant, or a dog, or an untouchable, from sattvic through the tamas. In all these things and beings, one can appreciate the samatvam, the sameness which is Ishvara. Well, that is the ultimate objective. But before that, at least we can appreciate Ishvara in objects and things which are inspiring to us. And that is why in the 10th chapter we have a long list of the what is called vibhuti or the glories of the Lord, where, as we said, the Ishvara's brilliance, power, knowledge, glory, beauty is distinctly manifest. As Lord Krishna said earlier, sthavaranam himalayam, the Himalaya among all mountains. Of course, all mountains are the manifestation of Ishvara, but Himalaya is something very special about it, which inspires an ordinary person with some divinity, and thus it is possible for us to think of Ishvara as manifest as Himalaya, meaning that Himalaya can become what we call an alambana. It can become a medium of meditation of Lord. We can invoke easily Ishvara in Himalaya, or Srotasam Asmi Janavi, I am the Ganges among all the rivers, Rama Shastra Bhrutamham, among all those who wield weapons, I am Rama. And thus these Prahladas Chasmi Daityanam, among all Daitya, the demons, I am Prahlada. Uchai Shravasam Ashwanam, of all the horses, I am the horse called Uchai Shravas, the horse which is possessed by the Devatas. Airavatam Gajendranam, among all the great elephants, I am Airavata. So thus, Lord Krishna describes here and continues to describe these special manifestations which make a person, which a devotee, meditate or worship Ishvara, where those objects become the props, become the instruments through which we meditate Ishvara or worship Him. So in the last class we came up to the verse 33. Aksharanam akarosmi dvandas samasikasya cha. Among all the letters, I am the letter A. Because that is as though the material cause for all the letters. All letters are nothing but the variations of this primary sound A. Dvandvaha samasikasya cha. Of the various dvandva, various samasa, samasikasya, the various kinds of compounds. And there are four main kinds here. Avyayibhava, tatpurusha, bahuvrihi, and dvandva. Lord Krishna says, of them I am dvandva, where two or more words are joined together, but all of them in equal importance. Ameva akshayaha kalaha. I am kalaha. I am the very time which is immutable. So inexhaustible time I am, or eternal time I am. That eternal time can be the time which is eternal with reference to the universe. Or even that time also is not eternal, because in the time of dissolution, even this time also is not there. Just as in deep sleep also, this time is not there. So, in that sense, eternal time will be none other than Parameshwara. So, kalasya bhi kalaha, the one that is the death of the death also, that Parameshwara can be called akshaya kalaha, the eternal time. Dhataham vishvato mukha. I am dhata, karma phalasya vidhata. I am the dispenser of the karma phala, the results of the actions performed by all the beings. Vishvato mukha, sarvato mukha. So, who has faces everywhere, meaning who is all pervasive, that all pervasive karma phala dhata, the dispenser of the results of actions, I am. Now let us continue with the verse 34. On the page 99 of your handout.
Mrityu sarvaharaschaham udbhavascha bhavishyatam kirti shrirvakcha narinam smritir medha druti hikshama. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham.
I am the death, sarvaharaha, that takes away everything. Here, Shankaracharya explains, mrityu dvidaha. The death is twofold, dhanadiharaha, pranaharaschaha. So, a person who is very wealthy, he loses all his money, he says, I am gone, I am dead, you know, so sort of, when there is some very precious possessions, because of which a person's greatness is because of the possession of wealth, or name, fame, power, when that goes away, the person is as good as gone. In that sense, even that which robs away a person of the power, as it happened in India, you know, and to many people, some unexpected people came into power and some expected people just fell. And this happens, of course, in election, but particularly in India, most unpredictable. But that is one kind of mrityu. But other is pranaharaha, the death which robs away in a living being of the very life force. So one that robs the life is sarvaharaha. Because even when the money, etc., goes away, they can come back. Or even after money goes, other things are left with us. And if the body is left with us, that is, life is left with us. But here when the life goes away, nothing is left with us. In that sense, sarvaharaha mrityuhu, the death that takes or robs everything away, that death I am. So this must be the only culture where Lord Krishna can boldly say that I am the death that takes away everything. And so when something goes away, is taken away, you understand that there is nothing but the act of Lord. Bali Raja was also a devotee of Lord. And Lord Vishnu goes to him in the form of Vamana, a dwarf, as a very famous story, and begs of the three steps of land, because he goes in the guise of a brahmachari. And so when Bali Raja makes an offer as to, what can I do for you? He says, all I want is just three steps of water, land. Is that all you want? If you want, I'll give you the kingdom of the three worlds. What do you mean three steps? He says, no, I'm just a brahmachari. That's the only plot of land, piece of land I require for meditation. What else do I require? Then he starts giving advice to Bali Raja. He says, one should not keep anything more than what one needs, etc., you know. So Bali Raja says, okay. He did a sankalpa. And the three steps of land is given to this Vamana, and then the dwarf becomes a cosmic person all of a sudden. And that is a break of contract, actually, you know, breach of contract. Contract was the three steps were asked for by Vamana, not by Virat. But he becomes a cosmic person and measures three steps. One, this world, the other world, and then ultimately there is nothing left where the third foot can be kept, and therefore Baliraja extends his head and says, all right, this one place, my ahankara is where, your foot is still not there, put it there. And without any compunction, Lord just puts his step foot on the head and he goes all the way into Patala, Rasatala. This is gone completely. Seeing this, Brahmaji asks of Lord, so, Lord, this is not fair. Baliraja is a devotee and he totally surrendered himself to you, and this is what you do? You robbed him away of everything? And then you robbed all the, even the worldly kingdom, everything is gone? What is this? What kind of justice is this? Then there Lord replies, that when I want to favor my devotee, I rob him of all his wealth, all the material possessions. Because as long as a person has material, even a devotee has material possessions, so long it's likely that he may have attachment to that, and to that extent he cannot be totally devoted to Ishvara. So I rob that away also. So in robbing away also there is a favor, understand, you know. And so that's why Lord Krishna can say that, Mrityu sarvaharasyaham. In case of Baliraja, he proved himself a Mrityu who robbed everything of Baliraja. But in so, there also, there is favor. Of course, you require a great deal of Shraddha, tremendous Shraddha, and devotion to Ishvara to be able to see favor in this kind of a situation when everything is robbed. When you're robbed of everything, you lost everything. In that kind of a situation, difficult to see Ishvara's grace. But the person who is a real devotee and with implicit faith in Ishvara, he doesn't mind. We have to reach there. What I'm saying is, that is the kind of a devotee. So he can meditate upon mrityu also as Ishvara. For us, not everybody can meditate upon death as Ishvara, but here, death also is presented as the glory of Ishvara. Lord Krishna is death I am. In the form of death I come to you. And so at least once Ishvara comes to us. If other times we cannot recognize him, he is there, whatever is Ishvara, but suppose we have difficulty, at least as death he comes to us and embraces us. Udbhavascha bhavishyatam. Udbhava, the prosperity. Bhavishyatam, of those who are destined to be prosperous. Bhavishyat means one who is destined to be prosperous. And the prosperity of those who are destined to be prosperous. Of course, Shankaracharya also gave another meaning there. Athva para ishvaraha pralaya sarvaharanat sarvaharaha. Or, by this sarvaharaha mrityu, because mrityu is the death, there is an adjective of sarvahara who robs everything. Then everything, of course, with reference to individual means his life, but everything with reference to universe means the whole universe. So one who robs the whole universe away, one who swallows the whole universe, one who resolves the whole universe unto himself at the time of pralaya or dissolution. So para ishvara paramatma, pralaya at the time of dissolution, sarvaharanat, because he withdraws everything unto himself, therefore he can be in a primary sense called sarvahara mrityuhu. So either, but easy thing is that it is death that robs a living being of the most precious thing, namely the life. Udbhavascha bhavishyatam, udbhava utkarshaha, prosperity. Abhyudaya, eminence. This is the reference to the material prosperity. It's called Abhyudaya. It is also the spiritual prosperity that's called Nishreyasa. So Abhyudaya, material prosperity in terms of the prosperity of this world or even heaven, Swarga also is all included in Abhyudaya, in the material prosperity. Bhavishyatam, Bhavi Kalyananam, those who, in whom, in the future is going to bring auspiciousness or prosperity. utkarsha prapti yogyanam. So those who are fit to gain the, who are destined, or those who are fit to gain the prosperity in future, of them I am the very prosperity. So this is also important to note, that the prosperity of a giver of prosperity also is meaning that the prosperity is Ishvara. Meaning that Ishvara comes to us as prosperity. You know? So as, now if nothing, you can meditate upon Ishvara as prosperity. Prosperity is Ishvara. So these are all the, as we said in the last class, at the time of Vedas, or even at the time of Bhagavad Gita, this worship of images was not there, or may not have been particularly that. And therefore, in Upanishads or in the Vedas, we find meditations of Ishvara as manifest as this cosmic person or as this whole universe. Of course, we cannot meditate upon the whole universe because our mind cannot comprehend that. That is why one aspect of universe is given to us for meditation. This is what we find in the Vedas, in the Upanishads also, like Chandogya Upanishad and others, which describe upasanas or meditations. We are given some harmony obtaining the universe, like the Panchagni Vidya, like the five fires, where heaven is the first fire, and the sun is offered, and the moon is a product, and then the rain, you know, the clouds, and then the rain, and the food, and then the semen. So these are all the different offerings are made. As a result, all the living beings are created. So in what appears to be apparently unconnected universe, the Upanishads or Vedas show us how a harmony and order obtains. So there may be meditation upon different directions, there may be meditations upon the devatas connected to different worlds. And thus, so the obtaining harmony of the order, which is the manifestation of Ishvara, so that is the power of the energy, namely prana. So these are the subject matters of meditation in the Vedas or Upanishads. Here we have come down. Here Bhagavad Gita gives us some more tangible objects, because even those things are also difficult to meditate upon unless we enjoy a certain purity and concentration of mind. The kind of meditations given in the Vedas and the Upanishads also are not easy for us to perform unless the mind is prepared for them. Therefore here in the 10th chapter, Lord Krishna gives us more tangible objects which are easy of comprehension, and therefore easy as the objects or symbols of meditation. And the next line says, Kirtihi, Shrihi, Vakcha, Narinam, Smritihi, Medha, Dhrutihi, Kshama. Narinam. Nari means among women. So different interpretations are there among women, or is among feminine words, but not words, among women. I am these women, Kirti, Shri, Vak, Smriti, Medha, Dhruti, Kshama. Now, if you read the Puranas, then you find that all of these are the wives, consorts of Dharma. So Dharma is Devata, and all these seven, and more also again, they were all wedded to Dharma. So all of these can be looked upon as the presiding deities of Kirti, Shri, Vak. All of these represent the devis of presiding deities. And so among all the women, I am these seven divine, these are seven are my divine expressions. So what is Kirti? Dharmikatva nimitta prashastatvena nanadik deshiya loka jnana vishayata rupa khyati. Kirti means fame. But what kind of fame? Dharmikatva nimitta. A person can be famous two ways, you know. So you can have your picture on the front page of a newspaper for two reasons. Either because you are a great person or because you are a great criminal, whatever. But then, That is why not just this kirti does not mean any kind of fame. Dharmikatva nimitta kirtihi. The fame that comes to the person because he is devoted to dharma or righteousness. So on account of living a life of righteousness or performing righteous actions, the fame that comes is of kirti. Prashastatvena, where you become praiseworthy, you are praised by others. Nana digdeshiya. Also kirti is not just a few people know you. Nana digdeshiya. In many countries, in many quarters, in many directions, loka jnana vishayata rupa. The people living in different countries and people living in different directions, they know you as a praiseworthy person. So that kind of fame is called kirti. Lord Krishna says, that kirti is my glory, or I am in the form of that kirti or the fame. Shrihi. Shri means your wealth. Dharma artha kama sampada. One meaning of Shri is wealth. Dharma artha kama. All of that is Shri. So wealth of dharma or righteousness. Wealth which is material wealth in terms of money, name, fame, etc. Or wealth in form of the pleasure of life. All of that falls in the category of Shri. Lord Krishna says that, that wealth I am. A sharir shubha, the beauty of the body, beauty of the level of body also is called Shri. Kantirva, or the brightness that is there, you know, radiating from the face, that also is Shri. So, all that beauty and all of that, Lord Krishna says, it is my glory, or I am informed that Shri, or beauty, or the wealth, or prosperity. Vak. Vak means speech. In this case, the goddess of speech, Saraswati. So I am the goddess of speech, Saraswati. Sarvasya arthasya prakashaka. The speech that reveals the meanings of various objects. Speech is what? Speech is that which reveals various objects. So when you say flower, so flower is speech. Word. What does this word do? It reveals the object called flower. When it's a microphone, again, is nothing but a form of speech revealing this particular object. So this is the glory of speech that reveals all the objects, has the capacity of revealing all the objects. Sarvasya arthasya prakashika samskrutavani. The refined speech, you know, that speech is called Vak or Saraswati. Lord Krishna says, that is my glory or that I am. Smriti. Smriti is memory. Chiranubhutartha smana shakti. Memory is not just that I remember what I ate this morning or what, you know, who I met yesterday. Chirarthanubhuta. What you experienced in the past, some long time ago. So the capacity to recollect what has been experienced long time ago, that is called memory. Smana shakti. Then medha. Medha is translated as intelligence. Here, aneka granthardha dhana shaktihi. Smriti is memory. Medha is the power to retain. Grantha dhana shaktihi. Power to retain the text or the meaning of the text. Aneka granthardha. Not just one text. Aneka granthartha, the capacity to retain the meaning of many texts. That is called medha. Not just reciting and repeating the text, but the granthartha, the meaning of the text. The capacity to grasp and retain that meaning is called medha. So medham prajnam prayachya. Then medha then is this intelligence, the capacity to grasp, capacity to retain. We should also include capacity to contemplate. All of that is medha. And prajna is the wisdom or the knowledge that takes place as a result of application of this medha in terms of listening to the scriptures, etc. So medha becomes a means and prajna becomes an end. Medham prajnam prayachya. O Lord Dakshinamurti, please grant me medha the intelligence and prajna the wisdom. That also can include antahagan shuddhi, because that kind of an intelligence can be there only in a mind that enjoys purity. And so medha can include shuddhantahkarana, pure mind. It can include shraddha and bhakti, can include also devotion and faith, also can include the intelligence and the capacity to understand what the teacher says, and not only understand, the capacity also to remember and retain. Because the common complaint is, Swamiji, I understand, I can't remember anything. But remembrance also is important, because then alone it will... Because otherwise, once we leave the class, everything remains here. If nothing is remembered. The only way it can come to our help is when it is remembered. And therefore, medha also is quite important. If it is not, then nothing to worry about. But then, medha is the capacity to grasp and retain. Dhrutihi, fortitude, avasadevi, sharirendriya sanghada uttambhana shaktihi. And the body, the sense organs, all of this is tired and exhausted. And looks like we cannot do anything further. Like you are tracking, or you are not tracking, but then you are going for a pilgrimage in the Himalayas, and you are tracking that path of 14 kilometers from, and for Kedarnath. From Gaurikund to Kedarnath, you know. And Swamiji, come on, better have a pony. How about a kandi? Somebody will put carry on your shoulder. No way. How about a palaki, you know? Four people, nothing doing. So, start walking, tracking, and 5 kilometers, 6 kilometers, and, you know, you feel, no, I can't go further. Because the body has become loose and it's tired, there is pain. At that time, dhruti, he says. Then people are returning from the shrine. You ask them, how far away is Kedar? Oh, just around the corner. This is also a convention. You never say it's far away. Nobody ever says that. Oh, just very close. Oh, it's close. Come on, I can make it. Then I start again. You know. So that is called dhruti. That enthuses even the body and the limbs and the sense organs that are tired. The capacity again to enthuse them and put them to work is called dhruti. Or it is also called fortitude. The capacity to maintain a certain balance of mind and a situation which are very provoking. In those situations also, you can maintain a balance of mind. Dhruti. Or another thing is, Uchrunkala pravritti karana chapala praptau. Well, sometimes the mind becomes not only restless, but there is a tendency to indulge. Sometimes comes in the mind because of temptations, because of some other impulses to enjoy, etc., for pleasure, there is a tendency to indulge, meaning cross the boundary. You know. So sometimes there are these impulses or urges to cross the boundary. That is called uchchunkhala pravritti. It's an activity which is not behooving of a person. So when this kind of urge arises in the mind, which is going to force my sense organs and body to perform an act which is not a becoming act, at that time the capacity to keep them under control and prevent them from indulging, or prevent them from doing something which is not becoming, that capacity also called dhruti or fortitude. So whenever we are now able to display this kind of a capacity, understand that Ishvara has come to us. Lord Krishna says, I am the dhruti. And so that is the manifestation of Ishvara in our life. So Ishvara is never away. In our day-to-day life, in all incidents, is there in all these various forms. Prosperity, Ishvara is with me. And memory, he is with me. Intelligence, he is with me. And fortitude, also he is with me. Speech, that I can speak. You know, the capacity, that is also nothing but grace of Saraswati. In that form Ishvara is there. So if you want to think of Ishvara, Swami, how can we think of Ishvara whole day? Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhya cha. The 8th chapter, Lord Krishna said, tasmat therefore sarveshu kaleshu. Why therefore? Because, hey Arjuna, what will be the last thought when you die, when you are going to depart from this body? So whatever the thought you depart, that determines your destiny. If you depart with my thought, if you depart with the thought of Ishvara, then that becomes your destiny. So then everybody wants that the thought of Ishvara or Narayana should occur at the last moment. So it doesn't happen just like that. Sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Therefore, you remember me all the time. Yudhyacha, for remembering me, do not sacrifice your duties. Keep performing your duty and remember me. Well, if you are able to remember without performing duty, give up your duty. Remember me. Yudhyacha, cha is if necessary. So, primary thing is to remember him all the time. That's why, katham vidyamaham yogin tvam sada parichintayan. Arjuna's request was, how would I be able to, or how should I be able to remember you or think of you or meditate upon you all the time? So that is accepted as a necessary means for knowing Lord. The next is kshama, dhruti kshama. Harsha vishadayoho avikrita chittata. Harsha vishadayoho. When there is an occasion of elation, then also we lose control over ourselves. You know, when something very desirable happens, something unexpected happens, and you lose yourself. Lose control over yourself. And vishada comes when something very painful or, undesirable happens, then also you lose control of yourself and grief takes hold of you. So either elation takes hold of me or grief takes hold of me, and then it makes me do whatever I do at that time. So when I am overcome by grief or elation, it's not I or my viveka buddhi is not acting. It is that impulse that is acting, and that's not right. We should be in control of ourselves, and so kshama. Here kshama is explained as the capacity to retain a mind free from vikara in the situations of harsha and vishada. Although usually kshama is explained as forbearance, the capacity to bear pain. Sahanam saradukhanam. Call it titiksha. The capacity to bear the pain. So this is also presented in Vedanta as a needed qualification. Capacity to suffer. Suffer cheerfully, not just suffer, because suffer we have to anyway. Not suffer helplessly. Meaning when the suffering comes, don't feel helpless. It's all part of life. Tam stitiksa agama payano nityaha, tam stitiksa svabharata. Lord Krishna is in a second chapter, agama payanaha. Here, all these experiences come and go. And pain also comes and goes, pleasure also comes and goes, and therefore, neither in pain nor pleasure. Don't you get involved. Tam siddhik shaswa. Just put up with them. Bear with them. Let them go. Thus the capacity to maintain an objective to the mind in the under the circumstances which are favorable or unfavorable, or better than that, when we have to confront pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, pain at the level of ego, different kinds of pains are there. And so, the capacity to bear that pain without losing the cool of our mind, that is called kshama. Puja Swamiji likes to translate kshama as accommodation. So, accommodating things that are unpleasant, accommodating things that are painful, accommodating people also who you may think that are not worthy or not good, but accommodating them gracefully, cheerfully, compassionately. compassionately accommodating everything. Okay, accommodation, being compassionate to everything, being large-hearted. So that is kshama. Everybody has all these qualities. All of these we have in one measure or the other. And we have to, kirti of course is okay, shri also is okay, but vak, smriti, medha, and then smriti, medha also we wrote, but this kshama, dhruti, all of these are the qualities to be cultivated. Ishvara, it is in the form of those qualities. Then Lord Krishna continues with the verse 36.
Dyutam chalayatam asmi.
No? That's not the one? Wait. Oh, yes, sorry.
Bruhat samatatha samnam. Gayatri chandasamaham. Masanam margashirshoham. Tunam kusumakaraha.
I forgot to mention a remark which Shankaracharya makes here. So, etaha uttamaha strinam ahamasmi. Among all the feminine or among all the women, these are the most exalted women or goddesses I am. Yasam abhasamata sambandhenapi. With any one of the six, kirtihi, shri, vak, smriti, medha, shruti, any one of the seven kshama, that we even have even a slight association with any one of them, lokah kratatham atmanam manyate. A person considers himself very fortunate or fulfilled even when he has even a semblance of one of these qualities. Then what to talk of them, that these are the glory of Lord. Then dyutam chalayatam asmi. No, bruhat sama tatha samnaham. So I am bruhat sama. Samna vedanam sama vedosmi, it was said earlier. Among the Vedas, I am sama veda. The reason given as to why Lord says that sama veda is my vibhuti, meaning it's the most exalted among Vedas, Gita Rupatva, because Samaveda is in the form of song. Basically what Samaveda is, all the mantras or ucharas of Samaveda essentially come from Rugveda. So those ruchas of Rugveda sung in the style of Samaveda, they are called Sama. So among the Vedas, I am the Samaveda that Lord Krishna had said. Now in the Samaveda also there are many ruchas are called Sama. So every passage of Samaveda is called Sama. Passages of Rugveda are called Ruks, or what we call ruchas, but Ruks. Passages of Samaveda are called Sama. There are passages of Yajurveda, which are called Kandikas. So, here, among the passages of Samaveda, Bruhat Sama, I am Bruhat Sama. There is a particular passage called Bruhat Sama. Samnanam, Rugakshara, Arudhanam, Gita Visheshanam. Sama is essentially Gita Vishesha, a kind of a song which is centered upon the words of the mantras of Rigveda. Among them there is this Sama which begins Tvamiddhi Havamaheti. There is a Sama that begins with this verse Tvamiddhi Havamahe. That is called, so meaning that there is a rucha of Rigveda which begins with this verse Tvamiddhi Havamahe. In the Sama, the song that is based on this particular ruk is called Bruhat Sama. It is said here in the Tika that there is a very elaborate ritual called Atiratra. In that Atiratra ritual, there are stotras which are sung. This is the most important stotra, Prushtha Stotram. So that is sung at the in the beginning at the most important times. And what does this stotra do? It is the praise of Indra. Sarveshwaratvena Indra Stuti Rupam. that Indra is praised as Sarveshwara, as the Lord of all. So Bhrutsama is a passage or a song which is based on the Rig Veda mantra, Vignima Swamiddhi Havamaya, where Indra is praised as Sarveshwara, and that Sama is the most important Sama in this, ritual called Atiratra. And therefore, Lord Krishna said, Bhrat Sama, I am. Gayatri Chandasamaham. Among all the Chandas, I am Gayatri. There are 7 Chandas or meters, Chandas meter. Among all the meters, I am Gayatri. So, there are 7 meters in Rigveda. Gayatri, Ushnik, Anustup, Bruhati, Pankti, Trishtup, and Jagati. These are the 7 meters that we find in Rigveda. By the way, these are also names of horses of Surya. So, sun has, don't think that 7 days are the horses of Surya, because we didn't have the concept of 7 days, by the way. Our concept of time was month, which was the rotation of moon around the earth. Samvatsara, the year, rotation of sun around the earth. Paksha, the 15 days, the waxing and waning, Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha. And then we had the day, Masa, Paksha, Divasa, which is rotation, of sun in one day. And then there are other kind of divisions called Muhurta and then Ghadi and Kshana and Pala Pala and this kind of things. We didn't have seconds and hours, and we didn't have 24 hours. We had the day divided into the 8 Muhurtas of 3 hours each, and that's how, and then again that was divided into the 48 hour time period, 24 minutes, etc. Anyway, so what I'm saying is the 7 horses of sun are not 7 days, that's the only point. Because the concept of 7 days was not there. That came with the British. But the 7 horses of Surya are the 7 meters. Or can be 7 colors. That was understood. So 7 colors of the light are the 7 horses. But then the names of the 7 horses are these meters. So 7 meters also can be the 7 horses of Surya. Among all these meters, so the shortest meter is Gayatri. Having 6 letters, if you consider Gayatri as having 4 quarters, then 6 letters in each quarter. Later on, Gayatri only 3 quarters of 8 letters each. Ushnik, again, 4 times 6, Anustup, 4 times 8, Bruhati, Pankti, Trishtup is 4 times 11, Jagati is the longest chanda. Among all these chanda, the Gayatri is the first one. And I just discovered that, in fact, the Rig Veda, the first mantra of Rig Veda is in the Gayatri meter. So Gayatri is, Lord Krishna says, this is my glory, that of all the meters, I am the Gayatri. Because very important mantras are composed in this meter. Our famous Savitri mantra. So what is famously known as Gayatri mantra is actually Savitri, meaning it is the mantra or in the praise of Surya or the sun in the meter of Gayatri. But then for all and many other devatas also, we have the mantras in Gayatri Chanda. Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Mahadevaya Dhimahi Tanno Rudra Prachodayat. Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat. And so, like that, for everything, for most of the important devatas, we have these mantras in the Gayatri meter. So that is why Gayatri, the meter, is presented here as the glory of Ishvara. But at the same time, the very most famous mantra, the Savitri mantra, also is composed in the Gayatri chanda. Because it is, number one, Dvijate Dvitiya Janma Hetutvena.
The Gayatri Mantra becomes the means, becomes the cause for the second birth of all those who have two births. So, all those who qualify for Yajnopavita, all those who go through the Upanayana ceremony, that Upanayana is said to be second birth. That's why these people are called Dvijati. Or Dvijan. That's why Shankaracharya also was addressed that way, you know. Annamayad, annamay, athva, chaitanyameva, chaitanyad, dvijavara. Dvija means the twice born. If Brahmana is called, not only Brahmana, but all those who nowadays only Brahmanas basically have the Yajnopavita. And so if Brahmana is called dvija, there are other dvijas also, by the way, you know, bird also is born twice and stuff like that. But then dvija is the twice born. And for the second birth, because only when the second birth takes place, that is when a person qualifies to study the Vedas. And at that time, this Upadesha of Gayatri is given by the Guru. Either it is given by father or given by the Acharya or by the Guru. And that Upadesha qualifies this boy for study of the Vedas. That is why Gayatri is a very important mantra. And then of course that person keeps repeating that. It is also part of Sandhya Vandanam. This Sandhya is supposed to be performed 3 times a day. And during that, the part of Sandhya Vandanam is the repetition of this Gayatri mantra. Therefore also Gayatri is important. It is important because it is a mantra because of which a person becomes twice born and becomes qualified to study the Vedas. Secondly, it is important because it is recited or repeated 3 times a day, morning, noontime and evening, so at all the 3 sandhyas. And there is a story about this Gayatri. So once upon a time there was a need of bringing Soma. So Soma is that juice of a particular creeper, and that juice is offered in many homas. So these 3 meters, first of all, no, one by one these meters were sent to bring their Soma. So one is Trishtup, this meter, you know, I told 7 meters, one of them is Trishtup. Trishtup was sent to bring that Soma. It could not bring the Soma. On the other hand, this Trishtup lost its in a few letters and it came back. Then Jagati was sent. Jagati also could not bring the Soma. They also lost a letter. So, it is said here how the Jagati lost the 3 letters and Trishtup lost 1 letter. And then Gayatri was sent. So Gayatri not only brought the Soma, but then brought the 4 letters also. So earlier Gayatri had only 4 letters. But because these 4 letters were brought, therefore it had the 8 letters in every quarter, in every charana or every foot. All these stories are told in the Veda, by the way, you know. Chaturakshani hava agre chandamsi asuhu. All the chandas had only 4 letters. Tataha jagadisam, etc. As I just told you the story. Gayatri also is important. Gayatri va idam sarvam bhutam, Chandogya Upanishad says. Gayatri indeed is all these beings. And therefore, Gayatri, Lord Krishna says, is my vibhuti, or I am in that form. Gayatri chandasamaham, mahasanam margashirshoham. Among all the months, I am month of margashirsham. At some point in time, the year used to begin with Margashisha. And Margashisha is when the Uttarayana also begins. December 22, that around that time, my Margashisha falls. And so Uttarayana also begins around that time. And also, another reason also, because of all the 12 months, Abhinava, Shali Vastuka, Shaka Adishali. So that is when we have all these Margashisha is the month when the new grains, new vegetables, It's a winter month, where plenty of vegetables are there, plenty of rice paddy is there, plenty of other grains are also there. And so, Lord Krishna says, at the same, the weather is most pleasant. Not too hot, not too cold. And therefore it is sukha-hetuhu, marga-shirsha, the month of marga-shirsha, brings joy by way of new grains and vegetables, etc. By a very pleasant weather, it brings joy. Therefore also it is the glory of the Lord. Also, it is called Dhanurmasa. And in south in particular, and in north also, but in south in particular, Dhanurmasa. That's a whole month, Dhanurmasa. In Gujarat, we have this English time period. From 15th of December to 14th of January is called Dhanurmasa. And it is so. Because the southern calendar is the calendar based on sun. So their month always begins with the 14th of the month. In Tamil Nadu, a month begins with the 14th of the month. The new year is the 14th of April. Because that is when the sun actually enters a new nakshatra. And that is why Mesha nakshatra is the first among all the nakshatras. And that is why, or Rashi also, and Mesha is a Rashi rather. And since sun enters at first Rashi, that's the beginning of the year in Tamil Nadu. But at the same time, the time period between the 15th of December and 14th of January is called the Dhanurmasa. And so that is a special time for performing japa, and so those days they have Nagar Sankirtan, etc. in the morning, then they go to the temple, they take their oil bath, go to the temple early morning, take dip in the river or in the pond which is there in the temple. So also that's why it is a pious month, Dhanurmasa. Except that, during that time, at least in Gujarat, no weddings will take place. In Dhanurmasa, no weddings will take. There are many restrictions on when the weddings can take place. But there are many time periods. For example, in the month of September, when you Shraddha Paksha, no weddings can take place. Dhanurmasa, they don't take place. Then before Holi, there is Holashtaka, 8 days, no weddings. So these are the times that we select often for our public talks, by the way, I'm just telling you. Because that is when those halls are available, you see. Otherwise, the halls are all busy with weddings, etc. But during these times, no auspicious functions will take place. So then our function takes place. I think Maharshisha also almost coincides with that time. So Lord Krishna says, among all the months, I am the month of Margashisha. Rutunam kusumakaraha. Among all the seasons, I am kusumakaraha. Kusuma akara. Akara means a mine. So this is the spring season, which is the, among all the seasons, I am the vasanta, which is the spring. So Lord Krishna has not used the word vasanta, but kusumakaraha. The season which is the mine of all the flowers. So kusumakara is another name for vasanta. So among all the seasons, I am vasanta. Sarva sugandhi kusumanam akarata ati ramaniyaha. So marga shisha becomes the cause of happiness. And vasandrutu is because it is beautiful. So on account of its beauty, it is the glory of the Lord. Marga shisha on account of its causing happiness, that it is the glory of the Lord. Also this vasanta is an important period because many auspicious rituals also are prescribed to be performed at that time. Vasante brahmanam upanayita. Typically, upanayana ceremony is prescribed to take place in the vasantrutu, in the spring season, which is the chaitra and vaishakha. So these are the months. If you divide the year in 6 seasons, then the chaitra and vaishakha are the vasanta. Jyeshtha and Ashada are the Grishma. Shravana Bhadrapada are the Varsha. And Ashwini and Kartika are the Hemanta. Marga Shisha and Posha, they are the the winter actually. Not Grishma. Sharada. Sharada and Hemanta. So early winter and late winter, yeah. So, and then the spring. No, sorry, Shishira. So, Hemanta and Shishira. And then comes Vasanta. That's how the seasons are. So, Vasante Brahmana Upanayita. So, in Vasanta Rutu, let the Upaya Brahmana be invested in the sacred thread. Vasante Brahmana Agnin Adadita. Again, in the time of Vasanta, that you light, kindle the fire for performing different homas. Vasante Vasante Jyotishaya Jeta. There is a yaga called Jyotishthoma. It is said that if you perform the yaga, you qualify to go to Swarga. So Vasante Vasante Jyotishaya Jeta. Maybe in every Vasanta, may one perform the Jyotishthoma yaga. Tadvai Vasante Arabheta. Certain things are to be only commenced in Vasanta. Vasanto vai brahmanasya rutuhu. Vasanta is said with the rutu of brahmana. Anyway, in this sense, Vasanta is very, very famous also in the Shastra. And therefore, Lord Krishna says, so rutunam kusumakara, among all the seasons, I am the kusumakara, I am the Vasanta, I am the spring season. Alright, we will stop here today. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadvyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namah Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah Hari Om. Now we'll have a short break, 15-minute break. Not a very long break. So come back.